Hey folks, it's Andrew here again, producer on Something Wild. One of the themes we return to regularly on Something Wild is the interconnectedness of the natural world. One species having a boom year may result in another species having a bust year. One species expanding its territory may result in another species receding its territorial lines. The relationships that make up this interconnectedness are not always apparent, but the result is always visible. And another relationship I'd like to remind you of is the one between us, the producers of Something Wild, and you, our listeners and subscribers. We produce this content for you, and we need your help to pay for it. So we're asking you to chip in whatever you can, $5, $10, $20. Go to nhpr.org to show your support for the Something Wild podcast. And when you make your gift by Saturday, June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win a trip for two to New York City. You and a guest will have 5 days, 4 nights to explore all that the five boroughs have to offer, including the Natural History Museum, their Central Park. There's the High Line on the West Side, Brower Park in Brooklyn, Flushing Meadows in Queens, all sorts of outside adventures to be had in New York City. But you can't win unless you're in, and the easiest way to get in is make a gift at nhpr.org. And thanks.
So here we are in the early days of summer when the specter of drought is often raised.
Well, we've had some pretty dry summers recently.
Well, we have, and we often fret about the health of our lawns and our gardens, but I wanted to talk about drought resistance among some of my favorite...
Let me guess. Trees again?
How did you know? I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon, and this is Something Wild. So, we all know the trees need water to survive.
Yeah, but what's less well known is exactly how they use the water.
Okay, enlighten us.
All right, so basically, the many leaves of any given tree have these pore-like holes called stomates that leak moisture into the surrounding air. And as the vapor exits the tree through the leaves, it draws more water up through the trunk and branches like a bundle of straws.
And water is a key component in photosynthesis.
Trees break apart the H2O into its constituent hydrogen and oxygen molecules, forming glucose with the H and exhaling the O into the atmosphere, all with the awesome power of sunlight.
That glucose is what fuels growth in a tree, from buds to bark to leaves. Okay, so how do trees fare in times of drought?
Well, it depends on the tree type. I spoke with Heidi Asbjornsen, a professor of ecosystem ecology at the University of New Hampshire.
Climate change forecasts suggest that in the future, although we'll likely experience more total rainfall, we're also expected to see more frequent and severe droughts.
She was examining the relative health of the trees during and after the 2016 drought.
In 2016, there was very little rain, and groundwater got really scarce.
And Heidi and her team were taking a close look at how certain tree species were performing.
What do you mean, performing? What exactly are they measuring?
So we measured the amount of soil moisture. Then we were also measuring how much water the trees were taking up. And this is important because when trees experience stress and they don't have enough water, they're not able to take up as much water.
And what they found is that red oaks were affected, but white pines really suffered.
We actually also saw that red oak had higher growth rates during the drought than white pine, which makes sense because red oak, again, was able to continue photosynthesizing even though it was experiencing moisture stress.
Okay. Is that significant?
Well, it's not surprising. It's just a reminder that oaks are more recent immigrants.
Immigrants? Really?
Yeah, they've only been in New England for about 4,000 years.
Is that all?
Well, remember, the glacier cleared out of New England 12,000 years ago, and so that's 8,000 years without red oaks in the area. Oaks have tropical ancestors that have slowly extended their territory north.
Tropical? That means they're more used to warmer weather.
Warmer and drier weather.
Ah, so let's back up a sec. What are the pinch points when drought occurs?
The limiting factor is soil moisture. So if there's less moisture in the soil, there's less water to draw up, so fewer sugar molecules are produced.
Could the trees starve?
Well, most established trees can survive without photosynthesizing for up to a year. Every deciduous tree shuts down when it's going into its winter dormancy.
So, heavily stressed trees in drought just enter dormancy earlier.
Right, which means a longer period of dormancy and a shorter period to prepare for it. So like I said, most trees can get by in those conditions for a year or maybe two.
But an extended drought could have a significant impact on the landscape.
I mean, we live in a tension zone in New Hampshire. There's three different kinds of forests that come together here. So there are constant ebbs and flows along the borders. But yeah, an increasingly dry climate will favor drought-resistant trees like oaks. My conversation with Heidi, visit nhpr.org. For Something Wild, I'm Dave Anderson.
And I'm Chris Martin. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR. I'm ready.
In an expedient fashion.
You mean with no screw-ups? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Speedy and fashion. Okay.
And then you're going to...